Today I want to just kind of put a, not a conclusion, but a little bit of stop. It's going to be our last part as we start life groups next week. But we've been talking from the beginning of the year, this series that we have entitled The 411 of the Bible. And part of it is that when somebody says to us, hey, what's the 411, right? It's a little bit of like, what's the scoop? What is it that I need to know? And I think as we've kind of used over these last couple weeks, there are a lot of you that know the stories of the Bible or in the Bible, but maybe you don't know the story of the Bible. And so we haven't necessarily gone verse by verse or even book by book, but we've considered a lot of the themes that help us to understand and put all of that God wanted us to understand and to know into perspective for our life. And to know a little bit more, on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings at 7:30, I do a Facebook Live. And so all of the things that we might not be able to get thoroughly through on a Sunday, that we're kind of taking a deeper dive to that on those Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. I'd love to have you join with me on that, and maybe an opportunity for ask questions or some things that we get to clarify, because more than anything else, God's Word is the anchor to our life. Can everybody say amen, right? Without that, we're just kind of just bopping all over the place, and so it's important that we understand and we get the 411 of the Bible. I also realize that if you're new today, or maybe today's the first time that you've been to Real Life, to recognize that you're kind of coming in mid-semester. Okay, so we're still early, way back in the Old Testament, but there's been a lot of teaching that we've already done. So you're going to kind of hopefully rapidly come up to speed to where we are today, or recognize maybe if you jump back onto our podcast, you can look up some of the past messages and help you to understand just maybe where we have been and what a help that this can be in your life today. Let me start by asking a question this morning. How many can ever remember their first taste of power? Think about the moment where you recognize that you could savor your first taste of power. For me, it was in the fifth grade. The teacher was about to leave the room, and as she was walking out the door, she looked at me and then announced to the crowd, I have to go down to the principal's office, and so Jimmy is in charge of the class while I am gone. Oh, man. Can I tell you that power is intoxicating when you're 10 years old? Somebody say, yes, right? There I was in command of that whole class. And man, I began to walk up and down that room in between all of those desks, just waiting for one of my classmates to step out of line so I could drop the hammer. Somebody say, yeah, right? Somebody, you remember that first glimpse, that first taste of power that you were given in your life. You know, today, as Debbie had mentioned, we read the Palm Sunday story. You know, and when I looked at it and thought about some of that moments that have happened in my life, I was aware that I was king for about the same amount of time as Jesus was king, right? When we think of the Palm Sunday story, that my time as king was very limited, and yet when we read the story, it seems that Jesus's was very limited as well. Debbie mentioned to you a moment ago, you see the same group of people that were crying Hosanna would be the same amount of people that soon would be yelling, crucify him, crucify him. I'm not even sure if we could pronounce that Jesus was seen as the king for a day. You know, we hear the word fickle. We recognize that one moment people are with you and sometimes the very next minute you're gone. In the idea of leadership, in a public sense, we understand how fickle the emotions of people are. One day you're the hero, the next day you're the zero. You see, this idea of Jesus being the king. You see, here's one thing that I know that I can share with you today. Proclaiming Jesus as my king, there's not really much to say about that because he is the king. You see, it doesn't make my proclamation of Jesus being the king making him the king. It wasn't for those people finally to celebrate on that very first Palm Sunday to recognize Hosanna, that he is the king. The truth of the gospel story, the 411 for you and I, is that he's always been the king. He is the king today, and he forever will be the king of kings. Somebody say yes with me in the house today. We recognize today that Palm Sunday has nothing to do with our declaration. It has everything to do with who Jesus is. There is no other king. Can I tell you today, Buddha, he's just a man. Muhammad, just a human. King Charles, Louis VIII, the Pope, they are just humans. They are just man. But there is one king. Jesus is his name. He is God alone. And so when we think about them crying that Jesus is our king or that Jesus is the king, the fact is that there's not much that we say about that because he is the king. The part that I want to bring to you today, I believe the part of concern for every one of us today is not is he king, but is he the Lord? Is he the Lord of your life? You see, for that evokes a choice. There is no real choice that you and I have to declare Jesus is the king. He is the king. But there is a choice to come down to saying, but is he the Lord? Is he the Lord of my life? You see, that involves choice. I want to share with you this morning the significance of choice. You see, we probably don't think about it because it happens so often in our day-to-day. Every day we are faced with an unlimited amount of choices. Choice of friends, of careers, of relationships. Choice to spend, to borrow, to pay. Choose to marry, choose to stay single. Choose to fight, choose to part ways, choose to reconcile. Choose to get up, choose to come. We recognize that every day that we are faced really with an unlimited supply of choices. And yet, the older that we get, we realize that every choice has long-term consequences. Every choice, right, that causes direction for our life provides for us long-term consequence. Some can be good, and we recognize, probably everyone in the room, some not so good. We've realized the power, unfortunately, of our choice. Palm Sunday would not be the first time that Israel would reject God as king. Again, we look at Palm Sunday recognizing that here is the moment where they have recognized him as the king, only to realize that within a few short hours that fickleness of the crowd would end and they would now seemingly move on. But Palm Sunday wouldn't be the first time in which that happened. For that, we go back into the Old Testament story, to the book of Samuel. Now, when God was leading Israel again, and we've been following that journey from Egypt and the miraculous that took place and getting them out of Egypt and then through the Red Sea and then into the wilderness and to the edge of the Jordan, about to go into the Promised Land, we realize that God had been faithful to Israel in every step of that journey. We realize that it was him that allowed that process to leave Egypt. It was him that parted the Red Sea. It was him that provided the food and the water and the provisions and everything that Israel needed. He provided everything on himself. And at times when he was going to speak by way of direct revelation, that he always had a person, a mouthpiece, to represent that to the people. Much of the Old Testament story, Moses was the man. That Moses was the one who went to the mountain and heard from God or received the commandments or gave direction to Israel. And then it was followed up by Joshua to lead the people into the Promised Land. From there, it would be the priesthood that, as they offered sacrifice and they represented the relationship between God and man through the priesthood and then ultimately to the prophets. And Samuel was one of the best. It was Samuel that was chosen from the time that he was a small boy. His mother presented him, much like we do as families that bring their little ones, that they present them to the Lord. It's an act of dedication that God has been faithful to us and that we want to realize that we want to honor God with this wonderful blessing that he's put into his life. And Hannah did that to Samuel. And Samuel grew in the power and the wisdom and the direction of God. And he became the voice beyond the people for God to them. But the Bible says this in 1 Samuel chapter 8, that when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. But his sons did not follow in the ways of their father. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So the elders of Israel gathered together and they came to Samuel. And they said to him, "You are old and your sons do not follow in your way. So now appoint unto us a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." You see, this was a real dividing line in the history of people. All the other nations of the world would look to humanity to lead them. Israel's difference is that they had the supreme deity to lead them, that they had God and Him alone to direct and to guide and to provide for them of their every way. But the fickleness of people, this desire to be like everyone else, finally had come to a head. And they stood before Samuel and they said, "Listen, we're tired of God. We're tired of this mystery in the clouds and hearing from His voice through you. We want you to appoint us a king, one that we will serve as a man, one that we will put our allegiance to, that so that we can be like everyone else." And the Bible says this displeased Samuel, and so he prayed to the Lord. And there are several verses that I would say are probably the most sad verses in Scripture. There are moments that, do the people really fully understand the choice that they are making? There are times where we think it makes sense, and yet we fail to see the long-term consequence of our choice. And Israel had found themselves there in this moment. And so God said this to Samuel, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." You see, Palm Sunday wasn't the first time that God felt the rejection of His people as to who He was. And I'd like to say that only Israel was fickle in their relationship with God, but I want to bring it to a choice to you and I today before I finish. I wonder how fickle that we can become in our relationship with God. Does it come to the fact where, hey, we're all for God when everything is going my way, when seemingly God is doing everything that I want Him to do or need Him to do in my life? But what happens when things turn? What happens when bad things happen to good people? Can I tell you, it's in that moment where our heart can become fickle, where the challenges of this life, where soon we begin to wonder, well, maybe God's not everything that I think He is. Or maybe God is not being directed to do everything that I think that He should be doing in my life. You see, I want to challenge us today to never underestimate the importance of our choices, because poor choices will always lead to painful consequences. And I think that's what we see enveloping around Israel right now, the short-sightedness, the understanding that someone else can replace what the direction is of God for my life. And so God told Samuel, "Give the people what they want." I don't know, maybe as a parent, if you've ever done that at times to provide a lesson for your child, right? Maybe finally giving them in a moment what they want to see, what are you going to do with those choices? There's a famous story in my family. My sister's a little bit older than me, so I don't know that I was even around when this happened, but many years ago, my parents went out to a Chinese restaurant. And how many know kind of the Chinese, like, yellow mustard, right? Maybe you get it in your to-go packs or whatever. It's hot stuff, right? Might not be the hottest thing on the planet, but maybe to a 5 or a 6-year-old, it's most likely very unpleasant. And so my parents were at the Chinese restaurant, and my sister would not give up. She wanted the yellow mustard on whatever meal she was having. And my parents tried desperately to tell her, "This is not going to be good for you. You are not going to like this. Trust me. Like, you are not going to be happy." And she just whined and cried and kicked and fussed. And so my father said, "All right, we're going to give it to you. Come on, dads. Like, you know where that moment's coming, right? Like, if you want it that bad, I'm going to show you. You think what it's going to be. And so, as the story goes, I cannot deny or, you know, affirm what took place, but apparently a small amount of that hot yellow mustard was applied to the tongue of my sister. I think all of you know where this story is going. Let me tell you, it was not a pleasant experience, and now it has become a story told throughout the annals of the Grove history, right? One that we told our children, one that our children will tell their children. Don't eat the yellow mustard at the Chinese restaurants, right? Because often we see the underestimate the importance of our choices, because poor choices will always lead to painful consequences. And so God told to Samuel, then give them what they want. And for the next 400 years, almost every king of Israel was bad. Israel thought they had it bad until God gave them what they wanted. And then the story continues to get worse, king after king, lineage after lineage. Almost every king in Israel became power hungry, just waiting for the people to step out of line so that he could drop the hammer. Gee, I wonder where I got it from, right? Because we recognize that power and the choices at times that we are given and the fickleness within our heart and our life cause us to not make the choices that provide the stability for our life and the legacy that comes after us. You see, I find that there are times the suffering that we find in our choices. I would say that probably every one of us here today have made a poor choice at some point in our life. And some of those poor choices can lead, unfortunately, to a lifetime of regret. Debbie and I meet with a lot of people throughout the week and throughout the year. I can't tell you how many throughout the course of a year or throughout the course of our ministry have had people sit on our couch and say, if only, if only, if only I wouldn't have done this, if only this wouldn't have happened, if only I would have chosen this, if only, if only, if only. You see, we realize that there can be a lot of suffering for the poor choices that we make in our life. It's true that experience can be a great teacher. However, her tuition payment is extremely high. And so how do we navigate? How do we recognize the fickleness of our heart with the authority that God wants to have in our life? You see, the good news, and I want you to hear me, everyone, today. The good news is that God works in hard situations that are brought about by irreversible bad decisions that we have made. You see, I want you to know that for every one of us, no matter how poor the choice, how bad the situation that we may have walked into at some point in our life, how desperate it might be, I want you to hear me today. And this is the story, not only of Palm Sunday, but truly the story of Easter, is that God is always desiring to be at work, even in the hard situations that we have brought into our life. You see, what is true is if we hadn't made the poor decision years ago, that maybe we wouldn't be dealing with what we are facing now. But it is also true that God's desire is always to be working in our present situation. Because just as there is no sin that puts us beyond the grace of God, there is no decision that puts us beyond the help of God. Somebody say amen today. You see, the hope and the fickleness of a poor decision on Palm Sunday would still not stop the power of the resurrection of God on an Easter Sunday that can bring dead things and bring them back to life in us today. It can take the dark cloud that maybe has been following you of something that has happened years ago in your life. And today, God wants to turn that around and bring everlasting light into your soul and into your home and into your family today. You see, because just as true as there is no sin, everybody hear me today, that there is no sin that puts us beyond the grace of God, there is no decision that puts us beyond the help of God. You see, God can take bad and he can turn it around. I want to share a couple of stories today, you see, because sometimes the issue has nothing necessarily to do with sin, but I believe has everything to do with seeking. It's because I know that there are probably some of us here today that we think about some of the difficult choices that we've made in our life, and we do have an enemy that wants to, you know, replay that in our mind over and over and wants to keep us from living the abundant life that Christ came to provide for us. And again, it seems to be maybe a weekly or a monthly struggle for a lot of people. But I also realize that some of those choices that we walk through or have happened, they're not necessarily part of a sinful direction of our life, but this idea of recognizing, I just don't know how to get to God. I mean, sometimes we disqualify ourselves, or maybe sometimes it was a collection of decisions that we've made. And sometimes it's really good that we have good intentions, but sometimes we struggle in that starter moment about how this is all going to take place in my life. I don't know if Hav and Carrie are here. Are you guys back there somewhere? There's there. And I thought about these two and their journey that's maybe only been 6 or 8 months at Real Life. And I'm not going to tell their story. It's going to be their story to tell. But what I was thinking about this, that Hav was, I would say, maybe in a bad spot. And Adriel is his cousin. And here's another thing that I've learned. So, especially in the Puerto Rican culture, like, everybody's a cousin, okay? Like, even those people that aren't your cousins, they're your cousins. And not only do they have a name, but then they have a nickname, right? But then when you refer to them, they have another name beyond their nickname that you call them. So I don't know if there's some international plot to keep us out of the Puerto Rican culture, those of us that are not in there, but thankfully, like, Adriel has helped us, like, step in, like, to understand, like, what in the world is going on, right? And so for a long time, Adriel had been talking to his cuz, Hav. And just like, man, I love you to come to church. I love you, you know, I know, just be amazing just to be a part of this family with God's on. And, you know, maybe week after week, month after month, you know, Hav and Carrie be like, yeah, cuz, yeah, we'll come one day. And like a lot of people, and like a lot of friends and maybe family, and, you know, sometimes it's like on our heart, like, man, like, we know something amazing could happen, but there's a lot of roadblocks, there are a lot of choices, not always necessarily sinful, but just sometimes, like, seeking, like, how do you make that first step? And so part of the story is that there were some things that happened right in their home, and it just kind of came to a head, and Adriel had to see Hav and Carrie just in that moment, and he said, why don't you come to church on Sunday? And I was talking to Adriel just the other day because I remember as that was happening, but man, I wanted to get a little bit more of the details. And even on that Sunday morning, I think that Hav, you know, kind of really committed to his cuz, like, I'm going to come, but got up on Sunday morning and Carrie, his wife, said, all right, we're going. And he was like, nah, I don't think I'm going. Right? I don't think so. But because of a promise, right? How many are glad for a good wife sometimes to, like, no, like, we're going, right? And that journey maybe was 6 or 8 months ago. And when Hav and Carrie came in, and again, I don't want to embellish the story per se, but I think that, you know, in kind of just hearing it, that Hav, when he came in and Adriel, I think it was one of those deals like his mouth kind of hit the floor. Again, not that it was bad, but just so distant. And it was kind of, man, if it was the last cousin that would have come that I would thought would come to church, would have probably been Hav, right? Not because it was bad, but it was just never seemed to be like, is that going to be the moment? But God brought a moment into their home and into their life to, it was a moment of choice, a moment of decision. And listen, I'll be quick, I think, to tears this morning because when I think about this family in just 6 or 8 months, am I right? And for you guys, just how God has gotten a hold of your life and how I believe everything has changed. Today, Hav, all he wants to do is get water baptized every Sunday. He's telling me, Pastor, when can I get water baptized? When can I let people know what God has done in my life? How can I tell you the turnaround because of the choice that God has made, that resistance that I had made for years and years after hearing a friend, a cousin tell me, listen, God can do so much in your life if you just give him an opportunity. Yesterday, this family was serving at our Easter experience like they had been here from day one. They were loving on people. They were inviting people. They were serving. Emilio, their son, was dressed up like one of our Roman soldiers. Like everything had changed in a moment, a decision that doesn't just change our moment today, but changes our legacy and our heritage forever. Listen, there's way more to that story, but Hav, when you get in the baptism tank, man, the mic's going to be yours, buddy. It's going to be your story to tell, but we're so glad to see what God has been doing in your life and your family, for you and Carrie, for sure. I have another friend, too, that Anthony Fatica, been praying for him for the last little while, and some of you know a little bit of the beginning of that story, but just about a year and a half ago, I just was going to do a ride-along with Anthony Atella with the Erie Police Department. And a lot of people ask me, like, what's it like? What's the ride-along? What's your most memorable experience? And for a lot of you, maybe I've told the story a couple of times, but what was my most memorable was my very first one, when we responded to a call of a 15-year-old with a gun to a family, to a young father and daughter at 26th and Brandis, right out on the open street. And it just so happened that Anthony and I were the first car. We were the closest car. And it turned into quite a circus in the next couple of moments. This boy that Anthony felt had the gun and ultimately had to wrestle him to the ground to get the gun, and a crowd formed. Listen, talk about my eyes, you know, like going like this. I mean, instantly there were probably 30 or 40 people. The road was shut down, cameras everywhere. There was a scuffle going on. I mean, I'm like, the world is just like spinning to me. I'm like, what is going on, right? I mean, it was like, you know, from 0 to 100, you know, in a heartbeat. And while Anthony was wrestling with the boy, that his radio got switched to the wrong channel, so he was calling for help. He needed backup. He needed assistance. And, like, it wasn't coming. Like, what was happening? And you know, I had in the back of my mind, like, I didn't know where this thing was going. Like, what's going to happen? And, like, nobody's coming. Why is no one coming to help? Only to find out in the scuffle that his radio got switched to the wrong channel. And so he couldn't get to the dispatcher, and so finally he was able to get back to the right channel, and I heard quickly then in the distance sirens from a distance becoming closer and closer. And in that moment of just chaos going all around, the first car that pulled up was Anthony Fatica, and began to help Anthony and take control of the situation. And, you know, they were just kind of doing their deal. And I'm just like, you know, knees knocking in the corner, like, what is going on? Like, I am never going on another ride along, you know, which actually wasn't the case. That was the beginning of my career, right? But, like, all that stuff happens. And then within a few short months, I became the chaplain for the Erie Police Department. And then, again, just a new sense. In fact, Justin Stidham's here today. He was the FOP president. And now to these 200 officers, he looked at me and said, Pastor Jim, get ready for the blue wall, man. Like, no one's going to talk to you for, like, a year, man. Like, no, there's nothing. They're not going to talk to you, trust you. Like, you're the new guy. They don't know about you or whatever. Like, what's going to happen? And so, like, I was introduced, like, to EPD in such a kind of crazy way, right? And then I get in, and now it's like, I said, like, is there a handbook? Nope. Is there anybody to help me? Nope. Like, you're on your own, buddy. Good luck. Yeah, God bless you, man. Like, so I just decided to ask forgiveness rather than ask for permission. Amen? I'm like, well, hey, like, I know what, like, I don't know what to do, like, the law enforcement side, but I know what to do on the Jesus side. And on the Jesus side, I need to love people. And I let them know that I'm there for them. And so whether it's day shift, night shift, whether it's third shift, whenever I have some time away from real life, that I can be down at the station, I could be down at the dock, I could be riding in cars, I can let these guys know that they're there serving us, and there's going to be somebody there to serve them. And there might not be a manual, there might not be a handbook, but I know what God put in my heart, how to care and to love for people. And so in that process of this last year and a half or so, Anthony got long-term COVID. And for the last year and a half, he has been a very, very sick man and has had to step away from active daily duties as a law enforcement officer just to help get him through. And nobody told me what I should do or shouldn't do or could do or couldn't do, but I said, Anthony was the first guy to respond on my very first day of I needed help. I didn't know what was going on. Anthony Atello was dealing with that deal. And it was Anthony Fatica that showed up. And I'm like, and now he needs help. And so I called and I said, hey, Anthony, it's Pastor Jim. I don't know if you remember me, but I was there on that very first ride along and you showed up and you helped me get through that day. Would it be all right if I could just stop in and pray with you or say hi? He said, Pastor Jim, I would love that. So I drove out and hung out with him for a while. And in that conversation with him and Julia, like a lot of people do, where there was a little baby of somewhat awkwardness, nervousness, maybe this has happened, never happened before, and we were talking, and Anthony was like, Pastor Jim, we were just talking about, like, we should probably start coming to church. You know, and I kind of had a little bit of a smile, because usually when the preacher shows up, that's what everybody says in the moment, right? You know, it's kind of like, oh, man, we better cross the T's, dot the I's. Like, hey, are we good? Like, you know, and I'm sure it was legit and true. But, you know, like, I smile because I hear that a lot in the moment, right? We had a great visit. And, you know, a couple of weeks later, I called him. I'm like, hey, dude, you mind if I stop out? And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. He's like, hey, if you come out around lunchtime, like, Julie will make lunch. I'm like, there, done, I'm coming. Right. And so, you know, every visit since then, for some strange reason, I seem to always show up at lunchtime. And it's always been amazing. But kind of week by week, month by month, relationship started to happen. Better friendships, more seeking, more sharing of our lives together. And then just a couple of months ago, Debbie has been dealing with kind of her own some physical needs and struggles, and we needed to see a doctor in Erie, and the wait was going to be months and months, and so they suggested, well, maybe call Cleveland and see if they can get you in. And we called Cleveland and we're, hey, Thursday, can you come Thursday? Like, yeah, we'll go. So we went and went through that, and Debbie and I go to Cleveland quite a bit, and so we, there's a lot of places when we go to Cleveland. We like to, hey, you can go to this restaurant, that restaurant, like whatever, whatever, whatever. Yeah. And so we're leaving, and we're just kind of randomly driving, and Deb said, well, what about Cheesecake Factory? We haven't been there for a while, and, you know, that's kind of one of a go-to. Like, we probably don't even go there anymore because we've just kind of been there so many times. Like, it's such a go-to when we go to Cleveland, and we kind of, really? Like, all right, we'll just go to Cheesecake Factory in Cleveland on a random day on a Thursday. So we park the car, and we go in, and I walk into Cheesecake Factory, and from behind me I hear, Pastor Jim, is that you? Like, who knows me as Pastor Jim? And like, do we come to Cheesecake Factory that often? And I turn around, and it's Anthony Fatica and his wife and his mom and dad and their little one. And we say, how random. But you see, when we're seeking, God says that we can be found. God lines up circumstances and situations in our life that, again, we don't wonder, God, are you working? Yeah, God's always working. So we had an opportunity to sit with their whole family for lunch and get to know more of the family. And I guess from what I've heard, if you meet one Fatika, you get to meet all the Fatikas. So that's pretty exciting. But I realized in that moment how God would take a random choice. Today, Anthony and Julie and their whole family come to real life. Their mom and dad have been here, their brothers and sisters. And I thought about how there are bad moments in our life, and yet how God is working to turn them around. That even when we don't see God working, that God is working. Even when we don't feel like fully prepared, I didn't know what I was getting into to get involved at EPD, and Justin's words echo in my head. Man, Pastor Jim, you are in for a bad time for a year, right? Like, what am I doing? But day by day and moment by moment, we see God turning hearts and lives and families and love and for things that are bad, that God is turning around for good. You see, God's desire is always to be working in our present situation. And I tell you these stories today to help you to realize that some of you would say, Pastor Jim, like you might not know my name or my situation today, but that's my story. Like you might feel like you're a product of some past choices or decisions that continue to wreak havoc in your life, and you wonder, like, what's going on or what's happening? Like, is that what it's going to be, my lot in life? Are my choices going to be the end? And maybe some of you here this morning need to realize today that God's desire is always to be working in your present situation. You see, it comes down to choice. It might not be a matter of sin. It might be a matter of seeking. Like you've heard people talk to you. You've received invitations, right? Whether to come to church or maybe even more boldly to come to Christ. To not just know the story in the Bible, but to know the story of the Bible, that God loves you so much that he sent his son, not just to be a king, but to be a Lord, to provide direction, authority over your life. And now that when you look back, I look back at some of these stories and to think maybe Adriel Moore with Hav and with Carrie, all these little questions, all these little invitations, all these little choices along the way to see God work. His very best in this family. And for something that may have started out so horrific for me at 26th and Brandis, and being the new guy and over 200 officers and a whole lifestyle that I wasn't sure, am I the guy? Can I make a difference? And not knowing what to do, but to do the only thing I knew what to do is be real, be present, don't judge, but to believe that someday that God could just speak into hearts and lives and through these little conversations, these little moments of building trust, these little moments of just simply being there, that God could take choices, an invitation, do you mind if I just come out to your house and just visit and pray, to see God by his way begin to move in the present. That ultimately we know is going to make an eternal impact. You see, what I want to leave you today with this, church, is that it's not a choice about making him king. He is king. The choice today is about making him the Lord of your life. To recognize all these conversations, all these random things, how does that all piece together to bring you to a moment to say, listen, God's been after you for a long, long time. Maybe you did recognize it. Maybe you didn't even recognize it. But now some of the bells and the lights are going off to say, that was God? I mean, he was in that. That was him in that moment. That was that conversation. You see, to have him become the Lord is someone with authority, someone with control. To consider someone as our master, as our ruler. You see, that's hard for us as humans. You see, it's still a choice that God says, listen, I have plans and purposes for you, plans to see you prosper, plan to see you grow, plans to make your life better. But the crazy thing is that God gives you and I the ability then to choose that or not. To still come to the point to say, it's okay, God, listen, I got it. Thanks, but no thanks. You see, in the same way, it's going to be some of these choices that we make that could provide possibly a very bad consequence to our life. You see, that's the hope that God wants to bring to us, to choose him instead. We read about being a Lord in the Bible and certainly in times gone by, and more times than not, it was used as a title of respect. But something happened at the resurrection. Something changed where the declaration was not that you are a Lord, but that you are my Lord, that you are my all in all. Thomas might be the most famous of those characters, because when Jesus came back from the dead, all the disciples were there, and they began to, somebody needs to get Thomas. Somebody needs to know that Jesus is alive. And Thomas, all his way to the house, said, I can't believe it. There's no way. I watched them as they scourged him. I watched as the whips ripped him, his back to shreds. I watched as they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. I watched him cry, it is finished. I saw them place him in a tomb. There's no way. The choice, the circumstance, it seems beyond a miracle. It seems beyond that God could bring out of any good, out of anything that has seemed to be so horrific in our life. And it's maybe you that has said the same thing over areas of your life. It's impossible. There's no way that it could happen. But let me tell you, as God rolled the stone away in the tomb that day, so God could remove the tomb of your life and bring light and resurrection and lordship over your life today. And Thomas, when he came in and saw him there, he was able to put his hands into the nail scars and to put his hand into the side. It was at that moment that Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And in that moment, it moved from being a title of respect to one that I'll say, you are my master. My doubts have left me in a pit, but your resurrection up from the grave, they have come. And now I declare you as not only king, but as the Lord of my life. You see, I'd like to tell you that with just one moment of obedience, of one moment of crying him as our Lord would be enough. But really, Jesus to become our Lord is more than just one act of obedience. Rather, it is measured by the sum of our obedience. That the longer that we walk with him, the more sweeter he becomes. The more that we walk with him and the challenges of life now begin to grow sweetly dim. Where John declared that I must decrease because he needs to increase in my life. And so I want to close with you today. Maybe Adriel, you can come and help me, and the group's going to come. You see, it's not about you and I deciding to make Jesus the king of our life. He is the king. Whether you say it or not, he is the king. But the choice for every one of us today of this journey and this path, and maybe today to tell you some of those stories to help you realize, you see, God's been working on this moment today for a really long time. In fact, I feel maybe it's even more poignant or strange for some of you that maybe are visiting Real Life for the very first time and you thought that it was just a random thing. Maybe it was an invitation and today was a day, but yet now you're connecting the dots to realize, yikes, this is exactly what I needed. And you think, how strange, how random. No, that's not how God works. See, God works to bring his very best to you and I in the time when you and I need it most. See, it was part of God's plan and God's direction to help you to realize that all of those invitations, all of those things that have been working, even some of the things that you're not even sure today, how it's all going to work out, that God wants you to know that he can be the Lord of your life. That if you'll choose, if you'll allow him to be the leader, the director of your life, that just as God had the desire and proved himself to Israel time and time again to meet their every need, why would we substitute a human? Why would we seek an earthly king when God says, I'll not only be king, but I could be the Lord of your life? You see, the first step to lordship is salvation. You say, well, Pastor, how do I receive salvation? It's simply our faith. It's simply believing that what you've heard me talk about today, what the message, what the 411 of the Bible is that God loved you so much that he sent his only son to take your sin, my sin. He were crucified to the cross. And for me, now what you feel inside of you, it's not just faith in a story, but faith in a God who loves you and loved you enough for you to hear and to answer some of your questions today. Questions that you've asked yourself, questions that you've asked others, only to realize he did that for me. Yeah. Hav and Carrie might have been running the wrong way, but God has a way of turning around our situation, our current situation, our present situation for his glory. There could have been 198 other officers to respond that afternoon at 26th and Brandis. But God was up to something. God needed to know that Anthony Fatika needed to show up that day because somehow there was going to be a connection with him and Pastor Jim and their whole family. And even though the present situation still isn't the best, we're still praying for Anthony. But as God started that good work, that we're praying and we're believing that God's going to finish that good work. Amen? And some of you, that's your story. How you're here, how you're seated here today is not by accident, but it brings to you and I a choice of faith. Do I say that that is random circumstance, or do I believe that there is a God that has me on his heart today? You see, we hear the gospel, we hear the good news that Jesus died for us, that his resurrection brings life to me today. I believe and I fully trust in Jesus. That's how we are saved. And that's what puts us on the journey then for us to declare that I want him to be the Lord of my life. He's done everything for me. I want to trust him with everything of me. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name given under heaven where we might be saved but at the name of Jesus. I don't know if you can think back, but those songs of worship that we sang today, man, so much of them centered on the name of Jesus today. There is no other. There is no other but the name of Jesus. Can I finish with this? Because there might be another group of you here today. Maybe some of you here today, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life. You've never been saved. And I'd love to pray with you today about that. I'd love for your faith to connect with a God who is here with you today to say, listen, I'd be glad to walk that journey with you. Today, choose so it can go well with your soul. But I also realize today that the first step back to salvation is lordship as well. Because there might be some of you here today that at one point the fire in your soul was pretty strong. That, man, what we would say is you are on fire with Jesus. But again, through some bad circumstances, bad choices, decisions, pain, hurt, sickness, your faith has wavered. And if I ask you today, like, where are you in your life with Jesus? It wasn't like it was at one time. That today Jesus might be saying, I want you to come home. That one time you chose to make Jesus the Lord of your life, but now you've allowed other choices. And today I want to give you an opportunity to hear that Jesus wants to call you home today as well. He wants to call you back to the Father's house. He's asking to choose. There's no forcing here. It's your choice. It's my choice. Today, Jesus, I choose this desire to make you the Lord of my life.